Michael.
We are now live on BBS Radio. Thank you for those who joined in over the internet. We have still more people joining in on the conference call line. I just heard another ding, and I welcome you. And if you want to, please name a location.
Hi, Don.
This is where?
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Don.
This is Don from Braxel. Hello. How are you, Don?
Good. Everybody's doing all right?
Yes. And I hear Wynn. Good evening, Wynn.
Hello, hi.
And my Wynn.
Thank you.
Is
here.
Is Terry here?
No, she was not that I know.
Is Carla here?
Not that I know.
Okay.
Hi, Wynn.
I don't know, who is that?
Yep.
That's Teresa. And now we had another person join in. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to. We are live on BBS, by the way, Wynn. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Carla from Kentucky.
Hello, Carla. Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, hi.
All right. Thank you so
much. Hello, everybody. God bless.
I'll be right back, guys, okay?
All right.
God bless you, too, Carla. It's great to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you.
All right. And right after Carla, and just now again, another person. You folks, and if you want to, please say your name and location.
Rosalie in Dallas.
Hello, Joel. Welcome to the call.
Hello.
And Rosalie, I welcome you also.
Thank you.
Being here, and good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi. This is Daphne in Huffman Bay, California.
Oh, my Lord.
Daphne, good evening. How are you?
I'm okay. Hi. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Hi, Daphne.
Bing, 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 welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, hi, this is Don in Superior, Wisconsin.
Good evening, Don. Welcome to the call.
Steve, you're in Flagstaff.
Hello, how are you doing, Steve?
Just great.
All right, for being here. And then welcome to the next. For being here, please say your name and location.
Nancy in Michigan, just made it.
Steve, how are you doing?
Great, thanks. Hope everyone's
right.
Doing great.
Great. Thank you for being here.
How hot is it in Flagstaff today?
Oh, it got up to about 88, I think.
Oh, that
wow.
Getting a lot of records out there, like Nevada and everywhere.
Yeah.
And welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please see your location.
Hi, this is Cindy in Peoria, Arizona.
Yeah, hi, Cindy. Welcome to the call.
I've heard it's awful hot.
Yeah, we're 7,000 feet up in the mountains. That's why
that helps keep it cool.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn. Who is that? Joel?
Nope, that wasn't Joel. This is
that's Don. Everybody thinks I'm Joel. I sound like Joel, I guess.
I need my dinner here. I'm just trying to rush through the...
What are you having for dinner?
Yeah, it's kind of a makeshift. I'm having ham, which I threw under the broiler, and then I have some chili with some cheese on top. So kind of a rare meal.
You're obviously not Jewish.
He dines on swine and does not keep the Sabbath.
Not vegetarian either.
Not vegetarian, right? Would you like to say
vegetarian? I live on. I love plant matter.
I still want to welcome the people who came in. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Hi, Hollis. Doing good.
All right.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Terry, Daphne, Carla, all on a Monday.
Do you know who that was that said hi, Terry? Was a big echo?
Huh?
That was
Teresa. Teresa. Oh, I knew that.
Teresa. It is,
yes.
I.
Okay. Well, here we go. I'm going to mute you all.
I'll turn the things off, all right?
Okay. Hi, you're not on a computer, right? As you said.
Peter, we just turned the things off on the phone.
You're not on a computer, right?
Correct.
Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay, this is Monday at 6:04 p.m. Welcome to everybody on BBS. Welcome to everybody on the phone line. And welcome to everyone on the replays. And, you know, it's really interesting doing a Monday call after a Sunday call, because the Sunday call was really out there. And so I'm going to unmute everybody. How many of you were on the Sunday call?
I was on.
Yeah, I was there.
It was good.
Did you think it was exceptional? Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah. So now we come down to the Monday call. And the Monday call, I don't think we could do two Sunday calls in a row like that. Let's suppose I tried to do it again. I don't think we could do it, because we're in this place now where we've gone out and we've expanded and we've felt part of all that is, some of us. Some of us connected to the energies. And we have our human side. And our human side is actually part of the grounding of all this to the earth. And each of us has our human side. I remember when I was younger and I would see people do their cosmic side, I couldn't imagine them being human. And in fact, I remember when I was younger and I used to play music, and my music would really touch people, I didn't know how to be human. So now it's Monday, and we've got to be human. And, you know, one of the things about these calls is that there's kind of a transparency. And you know what transparency is? It's that we're here, we're showing up, we're doing it, but we're not doing it. And whatever happens is what's happening in the moment. And I don't have to be more than I am, nor does Carla, nor does Terry, nor does Daphne. We're all who we are. And, you know, in some aspects of the work we're doing, it's just kind of a reality show, because everyone is who they are, and you all are peeking in on it. And the one thing, you know, the topic that I sent out tonight was called Leading, Following, Free Will, and Co-Creation. And I know when I was younger, I had a great resistance to being part of a group. And I wanted to be seen as my own person. And I resisted groups. And here we are, we're having a group. And probably there's some of you that are resisting. Some of you are resisting, like, I don't want to be part of a group. Although this is kind of an unusual group, because it's such a freewheeling deal. But nonetheless, I end up in the position here of taking on a certain responsibility. And in the context of the responsibility, I know there's a number of people that come on this call that become very open, and they touch into places which they hadn't touched into before, or if they did, it wasn't very often. And then they start touching into it,
as a regular kind of on a schedule on these calls. And they're learning about this place in themselves, which is sensitive, which is vulnerable, which is loving, which is, how would I say it? They're discovering it. And I know that's happening. And so there's an aspect of the role that I have to take is to protect that. To protect that and make the choices to make sure that those people that are discovering those parts of themselves don't lose it. Don't find a reason. And I don't think there is a reason, but people can make up a reason to not want to be connected to this. Now,
I want to make it a safe place, right?
I want to make it a safe place.
Yeah.
Which means there are times when I have to be bossy and I have to cut somebody off. Or I have to say something that is abrupt. Because if I was just being a nice guy and letting everyone do whatever they wanted, like, for example, some of you, like, I guess 5 months ago, I was leaving the calls open at the end so people could meet each other. And then what was happening is somebody started to channel, and I didn't know who they were, and I didn't know if they were coming in with a negative source, and somebody called me, and I went and cut it off. And then somebody else got furious with me. They were saying, "Wynn, you're not honoring free will. How come you cut that off?" Well, you know what? This is my event. I am creating it. And I have decided to make sure that I protect it to the best of my ability. And sometimes I might be too tough in some of your opinions, and that's okay. I still have to do what comes through to me. And if it doesn't work for someone, they don't have to come on the line. And so, you know, one of the things that happened was last week, and Daphne's on the line, she's listening, she can make a comment about this, but last week I was late. And Daphne started talking, and she started talking about her blog and her email. And in truth, I am really, in one level, very glad that Daphne is expressing herself. But in the past, and I hope this isn't in the future, but in the past, and this has happened numerous times, when somebody started emailing Daphne, she would suddenly send them an email and start putting down the work, putting down me, putting down Terry, being mad at the Elohim about how they screwed up this realm, and it was a big experiment, and we're all suffering. And it was damaging, because I owe more to Daphne for my own growth than anyone I've ever had in the experience of my life. And when she does that, I think, in my opinion, she has a negative episode where everything looks negative, and that she has to vent it, and she vents it to whoever's talking to her. So when she said, "Please send me your email," and, you know, I'm sharing this because I want to protect us, because I don't want her to do that again. In fact, I really would like her to be part of this group as much as she would give her heart to it and appreciate the work and the sacredness of it, because she has a lot to contribute. But that aspect of what she has done in the past makes me very cautious, because you know, she is so eloquent, that her channelings are so eloquent, and that if she says that, people think it must be true. And I must be a jerk. And, I mean, I must be an egomaniac. And when is a megalomaniac? And when is power hungry? And blah, what else am I? What else am I, you know? And so, you know, if she says it, it might be true. And, you know, I'm not attached whether someone stays here and keeps coming back or not. I'm really not attached. But I do know this for sure, that this, the work we're doing and the way we're putting it out is a rare opportunity for certain people to make a quantum leap in their evolution, to get an inside view of how the universe works. And people come in and they're going through an evaluation, and I don't want them to be distracted from their evaluation by someone sending out emails calling me a jerk. Let them come to that conclusion themselves that it's okay. And, you know, it comes with the territory of setting yourself up and doing this, that some people are going to have judgments against you. And, you know, I call this talk Following Leadership, Free Will, and Co-Creation. And it's like, what is following? One of the things we spoke about yesterday on the our planetary healing session was how most of us, if not all of us, come to the table with our shadow, our dark side. And some of us know it's there, some of us don't even know it, but this work tends to bring up that shadow. And when somebody has a large track of negative stuff, they kind of have to pay attention to something for a while that's higher than their track, because otherwise everything that they can create of their own volition is going to create outside within the context of their track. And some of you understand what I mean, where you go out and you have good intentions and you want something to happen, and the same old stuff happens again, and you say, why is that happening? I can't make anything happen. It's not that same old stuff. I had that. For many years, I had that. And it was like I didn't understand that it was my track creating it. It wasn't. That's not me. It's my track. So when someone comes to the table that has that aspect of themselves, that track, then they're going to have to go through a period of time before they can release, and hopefully they can release, the energies of that, which means they may look like a follower because they keep coming, and some of you have been doing that. You've come to our calls. I don't even know who you are. You're out there listening in foreign countries and in other parts of this country, and you've seen it work, because suddenly 6 months into it or 8 months into it, something shifts, and you make a connection. There was the ding-dong message yesterday where people were getting ding-dongs. And somebody else sent me an email. They were serious. They said, you know, my doorbell hasn't worked for a long time, but I have been getting knock-knocks in my sleep. And, you know, now, we could all be crazy. This could be a case of mass hypnosis, but I didn't start it. Somebody else started it. Somebody else had the ding-dong. And, I mean, we have such a consistency of a source that says they love us, they want to help us, they want to connect with us, and they have the potential to help clear the track as a co-creative effort between us and them. How do you clear your track? How do you do it. Well, I wish there was a specific way that I could say, do this and this and this, and everything will clear. But I don't know exactly what to say. I can say one thing for sure, and that is observation, learning the difference between who you really are and your baggage. Okay? It's very tricky because your baggage is so, how can I say it? It feels like you. You feel like, I have this attitude. I have this hang-up. You don't have a hang-up. It's your baggage. And when you can start looking at your hang-up from another position, you can start to release it. And one of the ways to look at your hang-up from another position is coming to these calls, because the energy of these calls, I believe, is above the level of the hang-ups, of the track, of the things. And it doesn't mean that I'm above it. It doesn't mean that Terry's above it, Carla's above it. It's our group energy and the help of the energies of the other side that bring a reference point that's above those things. And when you go above them, you get a chance to look at them. And I remember one teacher years ago that I had. He talked about his theory of reversibility, where the way you grow is you always move three steps forward and two steps back. You go back to your old patterns, and then you go forward again, and then you go back again. And there'll be a lesser going back or a shorter time, and then you'll go forward. So if you see
I'm prompted to say that that the strongest sewing is the whip stitch. And the way you sew it is you go forward, then you go back half a time, and you sew over it, and then you sew over it, and you're sewing over. You go back. That's as important a part of it as forward in order to make a strong seam. If you're doing it by hand, that is one way to make it very strong. And one way to make yourself very strong is to discover yourself losing it and then discover yourself finding it again, losing it and finding it. Discover that there's no fear in the rhythm of it, that this is the way you learn. You make a mistake and you get a little further and then you make a mistake. But you never go all the way back to the beginning. You're falling back a little bit and you can grab hold and go forward again, and you're making progress. But it just makes a stronger seam that way, and I think it makes it easier for us, too, to realize that we're human and we're fallible and we will err. We will add wrongly, and 2 + 2 = 5, then we'll go, oh, drat. It isn't that way, is it? And you get back, and you're like, okay, 2 + 2 = 4, stitch, you know, and then you screw up again, and okay, time to make that next stitch. Go back a little, put the needle in, and go forward.
Now, I will bet you that, I don't know all the stories, but you've been doing this, putting yourself out for a long time now. And I bet you 40 years that you had to come to a place of learning how to be tough to protect what you were doing, because it's not obvious. It seems like when you're doing this loving stuff and it's awesome, everyone should understand, but they don't. And people always, my experience is, when there's a good energy, there's certain people that want to jump on it and they want to take it for themselves. And they're also jealous that it's happening for you or that you're the focal point. Why don't you share some of your lessons in this?
All right.
Period.
Well, a couple of things. I guess the first thing is that when you're working with spirit, in order to work with spirit, you need to make a safe place within yourself. And so you set an intention before you do any outside work, before you open yourself to anything public. And you tune and you pray, and just like tuning up a fiddle or making the piano sound right, you know, tuning each key, getting everything together. And I did before this program. I always do before I talk in public. stay there. And if something happens and batters at it, you really are pretty strong because of the fact that you have set your intention, and you know that more important than anything, that you retain that love, that loving attitude. And if a person expresses this dark side to you in some way, you see what you can do to be real to that person, but also be very kind. And there's always a loving way to say something, even if it's you've lost it. You need to do some work. But I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm saying that it's necessary. You know, not to take yourself seriously, certainly that's important. Always have a light touch. But create a place for yourself to be the spirit self when you're putting yourself out. Number two, every day of my life, I go over the things that have bothered me that day. And I ask myself, why did they bother me? Because I'm sure that I wouldn't have noticed that about somebody if there weren't something in me that was carrying that same vibration. It wouldn't have bothered me. I would have noticed it, but it wouldn't have bothered me. So I have to look at, you know, the angry person within myself, the jealous person within myself, all of those things you mentioned. Where is that? And then I find it. You know, I acknowledge it. I enjoy, you know, for just a few seconds. I take that angry feeling, that jealous feeling, and I expand it, make it really strong, you know. And then I ask Spirit to help show me the opposite of it. Where's the opposite of this jealousy? Where's the opposite of this shadow side? Show me the other side of the coin. Show me how to be a balance. Because all these things are acceptable. But you can see so much more if you allow the positive side infused with love to shine. And you hold them both after you've let the positive side of it just get bigger and bigger and beautiful, more and more beautiful, and you hold that shining place, and then you look at the jealous side and you look at the shining side next to each other. This is what it is for all to be one. This is the dark and this is the light. And together they make human beings. And it's so nice when you discover that your shadow side has been given a job to do. And that's what I always do at the end of my balancing. I go to that jealousy within myself, and that whatever has enraged me or bothered me or something during the day, I go to that part of myself and I say, I see I haven't given you enough to do on the positive side. Would you please come and work with me? Would you please be part of the light? Would you please give me strength? Would you please give me endurance? Would you please give me the grit that I need, all of those strengths that you have? Would you please work with me and let me make them all into one authentic being that can use the dark and see it and not be afraid of it? So I try to balance it. So those two things, coming to a safer place before I put myself out and working on myself day by day as if I had just begun. And starting at the very bottom, starting, you know, at the worst that has happened to me today, my worst thoughts, and being really honest about it, just so that I can look at it. And, you know, it's really interesting. A lot of times if we look at the stuff that's bothered us, we can go way back into childhood usually, and we can find that place within ourselves that was hurt and that caused that jealous feeling or that angry feeling when we were too young to defend ourselves, too young to know any better. And we took it all in. Maybe somebody was always angry around the house. Maybe somebody lived in jealousy and never thought he or she had enough. You know, maybe there was a parent there that just fought all the time. You know, you don't know until you go back and look, where's that buried? Why did that bother me? Why did that image catch my eye? Out of all the things I've seen today, why did that one bother me? So, if that's any help, that's the way I work with because I don't think that it's ever someone else when someone is doing that. That's not my worry. My worry is that I might take it in and believe it, and then there I am. Part of me is still jealous. Part of me is still angry, or whatever it was that I took in. It's important not to exercise it, but to ask it to help me be the person that I want to be, so that the dark within me becomes the light.
Do you have an example? I mean, you are very sensitive and vulnerable. I mean, the pictures of you when you were young and you were channeling were really, really sensitive. And there had to be a point where you, as you started manifesting this and people started paying attention to you, that there were people that came in that could have jeopardized. It's not jealousy when somebody comes in and they do things that are kind of dangerous for the other people who are just beginning to open up. Do you have any examples?
I mean, basically you cry and you get that all out and then you just move on. I mean, do
mm-hmm.
I believe it? Do I believe what they're saying? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
People can't really hurt me if I honestly believe that I was giving my absolute very best.
Mm-hmm.
So I just really always try to give my very best, and I
mm-hmm.
look very closely if somebody has something snarky to say. There have been times when I've been attacked. I'll give you an example. This is a good one when you'll like this. Around the turn of the century, there was a gal, I called her Sarah Full of Woe, because she came to visit me one time. She'd been channeling really busily for several years. And she was getting that things were going to come to an end in 2.5 years or so, you know, like 2002. And then
mm-hmm.
she was going to be the guide that would help everybody through to the other side. And I asked her how she tuned, and she said she did not need to tune, that she knew her vibration, she knew that presence as soon as she felt it. And I suggested to her that it wasn't enough, that I thought that she was getting some mixed channeling, some negative channeling. When somebody starts channeling positive things about the future and then coming from a place of fear, you know, in order to be safe, you have to go with me. That's one of the great marks of a negative source. So, anyway, she cried and she cried and she cried, and I felt so sad for her, but I had to tell the truth. That's what she'd come to me for, to evaluate her channeling. So she went home full of tears, and her husband, who was using a name that it wasn't his, and who had been a criminal and was again later on, he got it in his mind that he was the guardian of good and that the law of one material was bad, and he needed to warn everybody. He got on David Wilcox's site, which reaches a lot of people, and he sent one nasty letter after another trying to break down our work. And David kept asking me, please defend yourself. And I told him I did not need to defend myself. My work was up on a site. They could go to it. They could check it out for themselves. And I welcomed it and let them decide for themselves, just what you said. It's perfectly fine. Go and figure it out for yourself. It's there. Look at my work. See if what you think. See if you think that the law of one is bad channeling. See if you think that any of my readings are off. Be my guest. But I'm not going to defend myself. It's not useful. It's not necessary. And, it died down. It went away. But while it was hot and heavy and I was getting all kinds of mail about it, I got a check in the mail. Now, we were small, tiny. We had very, very little money. When you do something like this, you do it on your own dime. And we as an organization did not have enough money to publish a book I'd just written, which was called A Wanderer's Handbook. And it was too bad. I'd done some good work, I think, and a lot of people since have said so. So I feel confident in saying that. And the woman sent me a check for $5,000, which was in those days enough to get this thing printed. And we got it printed, and it came out. And the reason for it, she said she had taken the money that she was going to spend on a tour that an unnamed person was leading that was connected with this work and that was connected with this entity that was so criticizing me. And she decided that she felt that our work was simply wonderful and that she needed to put that money where the good was. And so our prayers were answered. We were able to publish A Wanderer's Handbook, and it's been, I think, of help to many. It's been a real blessing. And I don't think it would have happened if I had started to engage in defending and accusing.
Polarizing.
That whole energy. By refusing to do that, I think it kind of woke up the defender in other people. And they defended me. And that was the way it should be.
That's a great story.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but it was one of those deals where by trying to stay humble and stay within myself and my authenticity and being fearless and just keeping on, something happened really beautiful out of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, somebody, actually a friend of Terry's, who's kind of been a teacher for her, said, if something divides, it's not spiritual. It's lesser than. In other words, if someone comes into the space and says, look at me, don't look at that, that's dividing. And it's a really good reference point. For example, when Carla and I are engaged, I have never experienced a single competitive feeling between either of us. And in fact, I know the work that Carla is doing is just as important as the work that I'm doing. And she's reaching people that I wouldn't reach, and I'm reaching people that she wouldn't reach. And in a sense, in the highest sense, she's doing my work and I'm doing her work. We just have different expressions. And when we come together, it shows. There's that energy of,
well, we love each other and we have the same message to offer.
Right.
The same hope, the same beauty, the same joy. And the same material.
There can't be enough of us in the world, truthfully.
Right. And I really feel that everybody in L&L Research, I mean, now it's gotten huge. I mean, compared to what it used to be. We recently had to get a whole new deal with the people that run our server because there were so many hits on bringforth.org that people were always getting cut off. And so we had to go to a more expensive server. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. There's a guy that volunteered to run that site, the webmaster for Bring Forth. There's a webmaster for the archive site. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. There's a volunteer for this, a volunteer for that. I mean, it's so beautiful. We put up a, do you know how to do this? Please volunteer. And people run there and go, no, yeah, I can do that. And I'll write in and say, give me something to do, and we will.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a labor of love, and it's a co-creation, but it's one thing, and we all contribute, whether it's like if you put a money thing on it, some people are giving us thousands, and some people send us $10 or $5, and that's just as much because it's infinity. When you've got love going, anything that you do, any volunteering you do, anything from your time or your talent or your treasure, it can't be valued. It can't be put a price on because it's infinite. It's all one. So I always thank my sisters and brothers in the light because we're all working on one labor. And when I'm with you, Ben, I'm working on the same labor. And it's a labor of love. It's absolute love. Now, why would I be jealous of you? You do things I can't do. I can't sit and talk about myself and somehow bring people with me from the most mundane thing, having dinner at Denny's or something, right down in a minute, in a heartbeat, you can go deep. And when you go deep, you offer to me, you say, would you like to say something about that? But you've done all the work, you know, so I say a few words. But you got them there, and you'll do it every time, because that's the way your mind works. You're so steeped in this material. And your mind is always looking for the connection, for the why, for how's it going, you know. And it's a whole different mind. It's a whole different set of skills. So why would I be jealous? You're helping me out a whole lot. And hopefully I'm helping you.
We are.
Yeah.
We just help each other by... What's
filling
the word?
In the blanks.
Filling in the blanks. There you go. You did it. Filling in the blanks. And you know, you guys, you who are listening, I think, and my way of looking at this is when you come on these calls, we're not teaching you anything. We're not preaching anything. We're just here, and you're here. And
Terry.
The energy, and Terry, of course,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the energy that you provide gives us the clouds for us to float on, okay?
Yeah.
So to speak.
I agree.
You know, we're creating a platform, and you're part of the platform. And a lot of you know it when you email me. You know you're doing that. This is not trivial. Because what we're doing, just by doing this, in the way we're doing it, we are making a dent in the collective. We are, and this is not obvious, but I know this is true, the way things shift on this planet is through the collective having to shift. And the collective shifts by little guys like us who start to make dents. And the little dents today become the waves of tomorrow. And so we are all making dents. I don't know if dent is the right word. Is that the best word? There might be a better word. We're making
I think it's really important to realize it's true. That
impression.
Everybody in the group where something good is happening is equally to share in how it happened. Because every single person that contributes to the energy contributes to the kind of energy that's able to come through. I know when I do a reading, one time I did a reading and the youngest person in the room was barely out of infancy, just a little almost two-year-old person, but she did not want to hear the channeling, and they wouldn't come in because that person didn't want to hear the channeling.
Mm-hmm.
So free will is very important. And so when each person comes in and they start leaning into that shared experience, then they create that experience. They create from silently and unknowingly their energy. All of you guys create whatever happens on air. And it's not obvious at all. But it's the truth, the way it happens.
Yes.
So you guys,
you know what, I want to...
Good group.
Yes, thank you, and thank you so much. So many of you come back all the time, and it is really incredible. It's kind of like I can count on it. I can count on the energy being here. And that was not the case for a long time. For a long time, I was talking, and it took me a half hour to get the energy present. I would be saying, when is it getting here? And I was trying to reach people. And every time I reached people, it would make a little release of energy. And I'd reach this person and that person. And now we get on these calls, and we hit the ground running. And we have archives, and Carla has archives. And these archives are available to anyone. And when you're listening to the archives, you're feeling the energy. And it's, you know, you automatically become part of that process. You know, I wanted to give a chance for Daphne and Terry to say something on all these topics if they want to. And particularly Daphne, because I was talking about her, I was explaining what happened last week. And, you know, I know that she didn't have a bad intent in doing that, in doing what she did. I know that. And yet, I know that it's been my experience that she can swing and suddenly get furious and take action that is damaging. You know, one thing I learned about karma is that you can have things come up in you. You can have negative feelings, and it's okay. We all have them. But as soon as you take a physical action on that, as soon as you actually do something, you actually put that feeling into the world in motion, and it's irretrievable. Even if you change your mind the next day, even if you curse somebody out, even if you talk about someone behind their back and say something about them, you know, you can change your mind the following week. But what you said is stuck and planted and doing its work. And Daphne, are you there? Star 6? Hello, Daphne.
I am here, Lynn, yes.
I hope you don't feel like we've ganged up on you.
No, I don't feel like I've been ganged up on. It's just I think that I have, you know, my perspective is maybe slightly different, or, you know, coming from a different trajectory. Well, go ahead and frame, you know, frame any question or any query that you have, and I will try to answer it to the best of my ability.
Well, I would say I brought up the idea of in a moment of anger, in a moment of whatever, saying something negative about anyone, whether it's me or anyone, and then it sticks out in the universe, and it's very hard to change it. It creates impact that now is grounded because it was put into the physical. Like if I'm mad at somebody and I just work it out inside myself, it's one thing. But if I'm mad at someone and I even have a casual conversation with someone else and say, Joe, is there so and so is that? It's like I'm creating a track in my words in the universe that is very hard to repair if you change your mind later. And, you know, that's, I don't know if you want to comment on that, but it's really difficult when that's happened with you.
Well, okay, I guess the way that I would approach this, Lynn, is I was raised with a classical education, Latin and Greek, and in a classical approach, a person is a sovereign being and has the autonomy and the self-authority to be able to make decisions from, and this is the caveat, from that person's perspective. Now, this is your show, and I honor that. This is your venue. You have done the groundwork. You've done the support work. You've built it up over many, many, many years. And I honor that. That's wonderful. And that's as it should be. yourself, myself, Carla, Terry, any of the other contributors, from a classical kind of perspective, each person has the self-authority and indeed the self-obligation to be the author and the steward of their own opinions and perceptions. Now, saying that, that doesn't mean that my opinion or perception have a unilateral truth to them. They are mine, and I take responsibility for them. Now, I think you're referring to some incidents that happened back last October, and so we're talking eight months ago or so, where there was a stark difference of opinion regarding certain matters, and I shared my opinion with a certain trajectory that things were taking, and I also shared this with Carla, and there were some correspondences that happened with a handful of people. And in hindsight, perhaps this wasn't the best way to handle the situation. On the other hand, I do feel like I was honoring my own process. I think it's exceedingly dangerous, either in a spiritual situation or in a worldly situation, to unilaterally impose a kind of how should I say it? An approach where things can't be questioned. Because in my mind, ultimately, we are knowledge seekers. We are seeking truth. We are seeking what is good. We are seeking what is growthful, noble, virtuous, what ultimately is freeing. And if we want to be free as persons, we have to honor the sovereign's freedom as a self-exploring person within our own domain, our own self-domain. And I know we're speaking about group souls, and I know we're speaking about the law of one, but that doesn't somehow negate the fact that we are still self-responsible as persons for our own feelings, our own actions, forming our own opinions, and ultimately not going with the tide or not going with the flow simply because, the party line is this, so I'm going to go with this. Or, my state representative says this, so I'm going to go with this. Or the CEO says this, so I'm going to go with this. Ultimately, we are called, from a point of view of classicism, to be self-responsible. And that means each and every person taking stock and coming to a decision or a place of consideration about what is it that they are, what's going on in them, what is the spiritual genesis point within themselves, what is it that they're actually learning about themselves in this process. Spirituality, for me, is not a just a getting to a certain place. It's a journey, and it's a journey that you will have until the day that you leave this body, and then it will continue thereafter. So, in terms of being able to disagree with people, I think it's important to be able to openly disagree with people in an honorable way, if indeed those kinds of things come up, and invariably they will, if we're talking about knowledge. So that's kind of a long-winded answer to your question. I hope that helps.
Well, thank you for expressing that. Let me see. We only have a few minutes left, and just in comment to that, it would be like if one is... Sometimes people that are new and open to something are like children. They're just discovering something. And they're not ready to have an opinion yet. And oftentimes, what I've learned is when things are in a seedling stage for people, even for yourself, if you have a new relationship, you have a new business, you're doing something, oftentimes it's good not to get anyone's opinion until you have enough information to actually understand from your own perspective what something is. Otherwise, it destroys it. Because, for example, some of those people who you were engaging with were new to our work that I introduced you to, and then they dropped out because they respected you and you had that credibility. And that, I don't think, was a good use of your positioning at the time. If you wanted to speak your opinion, speak it to strangers, but not the people that I introduced you to, because then it kind of said to me, don't introduce anybody to Daphne, because she picks those people and then has to create an opinion against the very thing that brought them there. But, Terry, you want to make any comments before we have to go?
I have friends in the group here who I dearly love, and to read an email about, to these dear friends about an opinion that you have about me, it was really shocking. And so I just tend to kind of retreat into my own world instead of becoming close, because it seems sort of like dangerous. If I become close, then that could mean that other friends that I have, you could try to turn away. Anyway, so that was my response at the time.
And you didn't ask me, but I would say, Wynn, that at this point, this is I did with the fellow that was having a bad opinion of me. Don't defend. Don't think of it for a minute. Let people decide for themselves. And sometimes their path would lead elsewhere. Perhaps Daphne was led by the Creator to offer that opinion, and it led them to something that helped them.
We got about 30 seconds.
So let that be and move on. Don't ever take it personally, because people do have their free will. And I know you guard that in Daphne as much as you guard it in yourself.
Well, this is our Monday reality show. Next week we'll go back to how the Elohim created the universe.
And they were talking like this too.
And they were probably arguing.
What were you thinking of?
What were you thinking about when you sent that red flash down there? It should have been blue.
Honestly, really. And it's
in
for
any
you,
case.
Donovan. Do you think you can really sing? Now, come on. That's not it. You're like, that's just noise.
Right. Listen, Daphne, thank you so much for sharing. And you did hold your ground, and you made a good points. And thank all of you for being here. And I know it's 6:57. We're supposed to be off 2 minutes ago. We'll see you Wednesday. And... bless everybody.